So if you are discipling somebody, this is for you this morning, especially. If you're not discipling somebody, or if you're being discipled, this is still for you. This is still good. This is the mission of the church. So if you're a Christian, then you got to hear this. We all do. But if you are discipling somebody, make sure and please grab the discipleship update form. It says that right at the top. There's a little red lettering or writing on the bottom. It's that sheet. Make sure and fill that out. What I would like is to please give that to me by the end of this class. So you need to be filling it out now, please. And if not now, like sit down after class and fill it out. It shouldn't take long to do. It maybe takes at the most 5 minutes because it's all stuff that you're doing already, right? So should be able to fill out, just fill the names in and your information if there's any changes, and just give me an update on some of those questions that are there. Those questions do change a little bit each time we have this class, so make sure and read those and don't just kind of go through too quickly. But that is for you to fill out. Please, again, turn that in by the end of the class today. And you can leave it up here in the front seat where I'm at. Just place them down there, face down, please. Also, if you're discipling somebody, don't forget your discipleship, your discipler's questionnaire. So that is basically to make sure that we're on the same page. It's a list of 16 questions, I believe. And it's just basic Bible doctrine stuff. It's, you know, do you believe in the Trinity? Give me a verse about that. Do you believe in the gospel? Do we agree on what the gospel is? Give me a couple of verses about that. It's very simple. I'm not looking for a paragraph. I'm looking for just two or three sentences at the most for each of those questions. It shouldn't take you very long. And basically the intent of that is that you should not be discipling somebody without filling that out and handing it in to me. And the reason is because as you go through the basic discipleship book, and then you go through the basic Bible doctrine book, all of those, all the questions in that little quiz, that questionnaire, come from those books. And so it's just to make sure that you're able to go through those books and answer the questions with your disciple. All right? So please make sure and do that. I need to give you an end date. So let's say the end of November. So you have till the end of November to fill that out and turn that into me, okay? If you don't do that, if you don't fill it out and turn it into me, then you'll be getting a call. If you need that, email me or text me. I'll send it to you electronically, or I can print it out for you and have it for you on a Sunday. I don't have any printed out this morning. So if you need that, email or text me. I'll send it to you electronically and try and get that finished up. All right? I think that's all the admin stuff for us this morning. Well, let me pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for enlisting us in the great work that you're doing across the globe and in this church. Lord, you have commissioned us to make disciples. And that includes not only evangelizing the lost, Lord, but building up and training up those that come to you so that we might better serve you, better live for you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our time together as we open your word, and Lord, that we would look at these expectations of discipleship, that you would help to solidify in our own minds and hearts biblical expectations for these times that we have together. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So we are looking at expectations this morning. Expectations. Unmet expectations just in life are super discouraging, right? You're hoping for something and it doesn't come to fruition, doesn't, you know, become reality. And the Psalm says that when that happens, unmet expectations makes the heart sick. It causes things even like depression, if you have unmet expectations over and over and over again, you spiral into depression. Conflicting expectations in relationships or in different commitments, especially when we think about in discipleship ministry, conflicting expectations produce frustration, right? I'm expecting something, but the other person is not expecting that. And so we have different goals, and we're trying to accomplish some sort of goal together, but it seems like we're always, steering in different directions in life or in discipleship. And not only this, but unsaid expectations produce aimlessness. If a leader of a ministry or if a discipler or if a leader in the home does not communicate what the expectation is, what the goal is, and what is expected to achieve that goal, those under that leadership and your disciple will be left without aim. They'll just try and just figure it out on their own and wander in whatever ministry or setting that might be, specifically here, discipleship. So disciplers, you need to make sure and guard against having conflicting expectations with your disciple. And you need to make sure and say what your expectations are. You need to communicate what you're going for in your times together and in your relationship with your disciple. And we're going to see the ultimate goal is the glorification of Christ through the reproduction of disciples. So the ultimate goal in your ministry, discipler, is to reproduce yourself, is to make a discipler, to produce somebody who can disciple just like you are. That's the goal. And that should be the expectation. But what we're going to do this morning is talk about all the steps and other expectations that lead up to that ultimate goal. All right? So first of all, this morning, what is expected from you? We need to know what's expected from me as a discipler, as a leader. You are leading somebody. And of course, we should go to Matthew 28 when we talk about discipleship. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Can somebody please read that for us this morning, nice and loud?
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I command you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So, first thing that we see, one expectation is instruction. Instruction. And this comes from here, teaching them, right? So the command is to go, right? That's your evangelism. That's your initial going out and making disciples. Go make disciples. And then baptizing them, of course, right? They need to come to faith in Christ and own him, confess him publicly through water baptism. And you baptize them, and then here's where most of us will come in, is verse 20, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the first expectation from you, discipler, is instruction. We are expecting you, the Lord expects you to teach. He expects you to teach. So that means every time you get together, whether it's every week, every other week, or whatever it might be, you are to prepare a lesson. You should have a lesson prepared. You should know what you're going to say. It doesn't have to be a sermon. It doesn't have to be an equipping hour lesson. It doesn't have to be that, robust. It can be, by all means, go for it. But the idea is that you should know what you're trying to communicate to your disciple in that meeting. You should have a goal for, okay, here's what the lesson is about. Here's maybe one verse that really sums up the lesson well, or I think one verse that maybe applies really well to my disciple. Let me study that verse. Let me figure out what it's saying, what it's not saying, and let me instruct my disciple in the Word of God. So this means, a discipler, that you should be ready to give more than what the book covers. So when you come together, it's not just book review, right? It's not just a book discussion. That has to happen because you have to know, you know, whether or not you're... can we close that back door, please? Thank you. That has to happen because we have to know that our disciple covered the material and did the homework, right? We hold them accountable to that. But you need to be ready to give more than what the book covers. Otherwise, why are you meeting, right? I mean, they can just assign them the book and then say, we'll meet in a year after you finish the book or whenever, right? So you should come there with something more than what the book offers. Maybe there's a thought or a theme in that chapter that was read or something, and you just really want to dwell on that thought or that theme. You want to dig down deep. Do that. That's what's expected. And your disciple should walk away refreshed in the Word, instructed, and learning. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13 says, "Hold to the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." So there's a standard of sound words. Other translations translate this doctrine. So there is a standard of doctrine, dear Christian, that you should be passing on. There is one truth. And the goal is to get your disciple to understand that one truth. That is the truth of the Word of God. Now, we're talking about, when we talk about instruction, it's not just the data that we're relaying, right? We communicate information, we communicate truth, we communicate doctrine. But some practical ways to do this is in the area of application. So instruct them in application. So discipler, you should have specific applications ready for your disciple. You should know them well enough. We're going to get to this in the next sub-point under care, but you should know your disciple well enough to know specific ways, not just, well, you should read your Bible more, right? Specific ways that your disciple can apply the lesson that day. Know them well enough to where you can say, you know what, I've noticed this in your life. There's a pattern here that needs to change or that needs to stop. Or, you know, I know your situation and, you know, you have kids and it's just, their life is just so demanding. You know, we learned about meditation on the Word of God this week. You know, one helpful way is just don't have anything on your commute to work or home, and just turn it off. I know you have a long commute, or I know that you're busy and with the kids and with life. When you're washing the dishes, just have nothing on, right? And just meditate on what you just read. Or maybe read a verse and write it out on a post-it and put it on the window in front of your sink and just think about that while you're doing the dishes, right? You should know them well enough to just try and think of practical ways for them to apply the lesson. So this means also when it comes to instruction, when you're thinking about what books to go through together with your disciple, choose books that are most needed for him or her. Not just, you know, hobby horses that you like or things that you're super passionate about, but what would most benefit them. And not only this, but you should be teaching them how to find the answers for themselves in the Bible. So you should be studying the Word of God together. That's why I say have more than just what the book talked about. Focus in, zero in on a verse and say, okay, let's look at this together, right? And I've done this. You print out a verse or a passage, and you and your disciple goes through it together. And I have a lesson already in mind, but they're just, you know, they're drawing circles and lines and arrows and things on their sheet, and they're learning how to inductively study the Bible as well. And so that way, I'm trying to get them to the point where they can just do it on their own and disciple somebody, right? And so I need to communicate my understanding of the Word and how I read the Bible and understand it. I need to help them to develop those abilities. Really, the goal is that you not be their spiritual crutch for the rest of their lives. That's the goal. I mean, it's the same thing with parenting, right? You're not raising children, you're raising adults. As a father and a mother, you're trying to raise your child in order to be able to make decisions on their own, to work so that they're not calling you every day. You know, what should I do today, dad or mom? That's not healthy adulthood. You should be trying to raise them so that they can make decisions, good decisions, on their own. Of course, they should go to you for wisdom and ask for your advice, but just they got to be able to live. And that's the goal for your disciple as well. They got to be able to live for the Lord, in a sense, on their own. If they're plugged into the ministries of the church, the life of the church, they should be able to thrive and grow without constantly coming to you. All right, so that's instruction. Also, what's expected for you, discipler, is care. Care. Now, for this, we go to a little bit longer passage here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. Can somebody please read this passage for us?
How working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly and righteously and blamelessly we behave towards you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and bearing witness to each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory.
Amen. Thank you. So again, here's the goal, right? I'm not making this up on my own. Here's the goal. You walk, right, in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. What Paul says here is, I was with you, I discipled you, I pastored you, and this was the goal, for you to be able just to walk, to take off the training wheels and walk. For the glory of Christ, right? Walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. That's the goal. And one way that he lists here is just the involvement of his life and his heart in his relationship with them. He cared for them. Some words that communicate care. What do you guys see here in these verses that we have up here on the screen, 7 through 8? Yeah, nursing mother. That communicates care, right? I mean, tenderly cares.
Gentle,
yeah.
Fond affection.
Yes, fond affection. What else?
Imparting your life.
Yeah, so there's impart, not just the gospel, not just the data, but our own lives, right? So this goes beyond teaching. And then becoming beloved. Right, I mean, it's dripping with this pastoral care, right? And remember, look, he says, you know, brothers, our labor and hardship, how hard we work night and day, so not to be a burden to any of you, right? So there was tireless, there was sacrifice in his ministry. Disciples, your ministry to your disciples will require sacrifice. Verse 10. There's this behavior that's in front of them, right? And it's devout and righteous and blameless behavior. And then verse 11 and 12, there is this fatherly care now, right? There's exhorting and encouraging and bearing witness to each one of you. And that is more the instruction side of it. So the motherly, you could say, a gentleness and care and personableness. And then the fatherly instruction and leadership. You're to be both of those for your disciple. Okay? So what does this mean? This means that you regularly contact your disciple outside of your meetings, that you text them, that you call them, not just to schedule the next meeting, but to see how they're doing, and to let them know you're praying for them in the prayer request that they shared. So regularly contact your disciple outside your meeting. Get to know them, right? Get to know them. What's their name? You know, what's their life situation? You know, and get to know their family and the dynamics of the family, if they have one. Get to know their career and what they go through, what they face every day in their career. Get to know their habits, right? You should get to know them to the point where you kind of know what they would probably do in a certain situation. That's what you're going for. You want to get to know them. Do things with them. Do things with their family if they have one. A great way to help to get to know your disciple is to serve together. Serve together. Hopefully, discipleship relationships comes out of you already serving together. That's the best. But if you start discipling somebody and you're not serving with them, maybe think of ways that you can serve along side by side with them. The main thought is just be intentional, right? Be intentional to have them around you in different settings. They need to see you. I was thinking about this on my way here this morning. I remember when we were on our way to church one Sunday morning, riding in the back car of my dad's car, and somebody flipped him off. And I looked at my dad, right? And what is he going to do, right? Because I know if I disrespect him that way, it would be a certain response, right? And rightly so, because he's my dad. I shouldn't dishonor him that way. But what is my dad going to do? And he just handled it with so much grace and patience, and use it as a teaching moment for us. So they should see you in those different kinds of situations to see, and you're not going to be perfect, right? You're not going to be perfect, but they should see you in different situations. And if you fail, then you confess that, and you ask them forgiveness for being a bad example. And they get to see that, right? Even if you fail, there's still opportunity for good to come out of it. Ask your disciple what struggles they face internally and externally, right? Not just, you know, how is it with the bills and with the kids, but how's your soul? How are you doing in your walk with Christ? Remember, disciples, you are, or at least ought to be, one of, if not the main relationship that your disciple will have, where they know that they can go to you and share their struggles. Of all relationships in the church, right, especially if they're not married or, you know, outside of their marriage, and maybe one really, really close friend, outside of that sphere, you are the one that they should be able to go to and to open their heart and to share the deep struggles of their soul. That's the expectation. So when they come to you and they bear your soul, you don't say, well, I'll pray for you. You should go there and talk to these people. You should go to this counseling ministry and talk to them. No, that's why you're there, right? The expectation is you counsel them before it gets too bad, and then I have to counsel them. Please, right? That's the goal, is your counseling. You're doing little mini counseling sessions whenever you meet so that it doesn't snowball to the point where the pastoral staff, the elders have to step in and, you know, it's crisis counseling at that point. That's the goal. And if I can apply this without being too specific. In my years of ministry, all counseling that I've had are, I say mostly, most counseling that I've had has been with somebody who just didn't have somebody to help them. And they felt like they were on their own, and they were. even though they attended a church every Sunday. They didn't have somebody to go to and to help them and encourage them and steer them in the right direction. So this is the point, right? This is so that we don't all get that mad and so that our church thrives, right? You see how discipleship is vital to the bloodstream of the church and is vital to our health. If we're not discipling, if we're not doing it right, we'll be a mess as a church. So you brothers and sisters are super important to the health of this church. You got to see that. And I'm thankful for you. Colossians 1:9. We got to keep going, man. Colossians 1:9. For this reason, also, since the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask you that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So one way to care for your disciple is pray for them, right? Do not cease to pray for them. That's the expectation. It should be right and expected that you are praying for your disciple often. Faithfully pray. Pray with them together, with them, so that they can see your heart for them, and then pray for them when you're apart. Another expectation for you disciplers is consistency. Consistency. Acts 20:31, therefore be watchful, remember that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. So what are the words here for consistency?
Night and day.
For 3 years. I did not cease. Right? So three different ways of saying, you know that I was consistent with you. You should be meeting with your disciple about twice a month is the average. I think that's a good starting point. More or less depending on the needs of your disciple. If your disciple is doing great, they just need help in this one area, or if they're maybe a leader in a ministry and they're thriving, but they just want discipleship, they feel like they need that in their life, then maybe once a month, maybe. But most often it's going to be twice a month. For some that are more available or more just needy of that, it might be even every week. So be open to the needs of your disciple, and whatever schedule you set up, the goal is consistency. So don't say we're going to meet every week and then, you know, not. Set realistic goals. Your meeting with your disciple should last about 1.5 to 2 hours. 1.5 to 2 hours. In that meeting, some key elements to your time together is first fellowship and just catching up with life. And then, of course, homework review, keeping them accountable. And then there should be a time of instruction. And then discussion, maybe application of the lesson. Discussion about just maybe this sparked something in their mind and they need to talk through some things. And give some time for that. And then prayer at the end. Pray together. Okay, so fellowship, catching up, and then homework, and then instruction, and then discussion, and closing with prayer. Of course, opening with prayer. I maybe shouldn't assume that. So to help with consistency, another just super practical thing, before you leave and say, okay, see you next time, figure out when that next time is, right? Plan it. Get out your phones, look at your calendar, and this you know, would require you to be a planner, to have a calendar and to have some order in your life. Put it on the next, you know, look for it. Okay, we're meeting every 2 weeks. Okay, let me swipe over to 2 weeks from now. Let me look at my calendar. Oh, actually, this, I'll be away that day. Okay, let's maybe meet the day before, the day after when I get back. Let's adjust, right? Rather than just, I hope I'll see you next time. And then, you know, that week comes and it's like, oh, I'm away that day. Oh, okay, well then, I don't know when. Let me know when you can meet next time, and it just never happens, right? That's not helpful, and I've been guilty of that. I get it, but just a practical way to help you be consistent is before you leave, plan the next one. You must discipler, you must set the standard and lead in how available you are. You must make yourself available as much as you can. Remember, there will be sacrifice. You want to be able to say, night and day, for the last 3 years, I was there for you. Right? That's the goal. You need to have that expectation of yourself. And I would say that the Lord has that expectation of you. Another expectation, last one for you, disciples, is patience. Patience. This is good. We urge you, brothers, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Now, these are super helpful phrases for counseling, right? Admonish the unruly as you're doing your little mini counseling sessions with your disciple. You got to figure out, are they unruly? Well, I need to admonish them. I need to. No change is going to happen if I don't. But then also figure out, are they faint-hearted? Right? Maybe they're falling into sin, or maybe they're struggling because they just are just so discouraged in life and they're so small soul, they don't feel like they can do it. You need to encourage them. If you admonish the faint hearted, you're going to crush them. Right? And then not only that, but help the weak. That is, put the training wheels on and say, you know, you're struggling with the sin. I'm going to call you every day. I'm going to call you every day for the next 2 weeks until we meet again. And we'll have a 5-minute conversation every day because you're weak. You don't know how to do it. You can't do it on your own. I'll be there for you. And it's the picture of when you're helping a child learn how to walk. You hold them by their little hands and you carry the weight of their whole body off their legs and you just get them used to the motion of walking. That's what you're doing with your disciple when you help them and they're weak. You're taking the weight off of the demands of the commands of Scripture, and you're just helping them, making it feel easier so that they can get used to obeying the Lord. But no matter what situation, no matter what kind of disciple you got, whether it's unruly or faint-hearted or weak, it says be patient with everyone. So I think that's what we want to pull from this verse. No matter who you got, they're going to demand patience. No matter what kind of disciple you have, you will need patience. And so you need to pray for that discipler. Your disciple will struggle and fail at times. You should expect that. And you must show them the same patience that your Heavenly Father shows you. One good example of this, Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. So if you feel like you've already said this, then you're in good company with Paul. I've already told you this, right? And I know the temptation. I've already told you this. Why are we going over this again? We covered this a long time ago for a while, and here it is again. You should be beyond this now, right? But we got to guard against that and say, you know what? It's no problem. We'll cover that subject again today. I'll tell you again. It's no problem. As a matter of fact, I would like to do it again because this is good for your soul. So be patient. Now, what's expected of your disciple? What's expected from your disciple? Now, before we look at these things, just three things here. Remember, as we look at these qualities that you should expect from your disciple, you need to understand as a discipler, you are expected to provide your disciple with a model of these things. So this isn't things that only they should do. These are things that you should expect from them because you've given them a model of what it looks like. You must not expect something from your disciple that you are not modeling for them. And we get this from Christ himself. He never expected or demanded something from his disciples that he first did not do. You can look through the Gospels. I challenge you. Right? Except for dying on the cross for sins. Right? Just in the regular things of life, Christ, our ultimate discipler, always provides the model. And that's what we tell our disciples. That's what I preach every Sunday, right? Christ gave you an example to follow, right? That's what discipleship is. So, that being said, first of all, what's expected from your disciple? Faithfulness. That they are faithful. Faithful. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So, depending on your situation, I would say you should not begin to meet with somebody until they show some measure of faithfulness, because you don't want to waste your time. If somebody is unfaithful, they maybe challenge them and say, I would love to meet with you, but I want to see you do this. I want to see you be faithful in this area of your life or of the church or ministry for this long, and then that will let me know that you're in it. They should be faithful. But if you're already meeting with somebody, the expectation doesn't go away. They must be faithful. So this means that your disciple must memorize the verses, must complete the lessons, and do the reading. That is fine for an expectation. And it's fine even at times, as long as it's done in love and gentleness, to say, when you hear that your disciple did not do the lesson, to say, okay, well then finish the lesson and we'll meet when you do. And I will not meet with you until you do. We'll meet next week, and you got 1 week to finish. That's fine. There's nothing wrong. That's not harsh. You're trying to instill and train in them faithfulness, right? There's a bite to it, but that's good. That's the whole point, is for you to teach them faithfulness, and that is a teaching opportunity. They should be faithful in their service to the church. So you should be challenging and expecting your disciple to be actively serving in the church. If they're not, they're not a healthy Christian, period. And so for their sake, help them develop faithfulness in ministry. They should have commitments to the church where they must be faithful to do it. That is, well, you know, I serve the church, you know, if there's ever a call for help, you know, once or twice a year, I'm there. Well, that's not faithful, though. You're not committed. There's no test of faithfulness there. It's sporadic. This faithfulness will be most evident, most prevalent in your times together. It'll be most obvious in their discipleship relationship with you. So faithful, not only this, but available. So another expectation to have from your disciple is that they're available. What do I mean by this? Well, we get this from the disciples of Christ. Matthew 4:20, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Another one, Matthew 9:9. That was Matthew 4:20. Also in Matthew 9:9, Jesus went on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And he stood up and followed him. It was just immediate. That's the expectation. They're available. If you tell them to do something, or if you call them to action, the first response is, we'll see. Right? Or, I don't know. I don't know if I'm available for that. But make yourself available. There should be that expectation. Especially in the context of discipleship, your disciples should be willing to sacrifice in other areas of life in order to meet with you. Right? Because you're doing the same for them. Right? If you're doing that for them, and that is the expectation. Remember, you're the model. Right? You're showing them, I'm available. Like, I have canceled something or rescheduled something for you. Right? So I'm making myself available for you. I expect the same thing from you. Right? Don't give me excuses why you can't meet every time. Otherwise, maybe we just should cut it and just not meet. And I'll find somebody who is faithful and available. It's not wrong to have that expectation, as long as you're doing it out of love and patience. They should be attending all the meetings that they are able to attend in the church. So they should be available not just for you, but for all that the Lord would do in and through them, through the life of the local body. And lastly, in this section, teachable. So they should be faithful. You should expect them to be faithful. You should expect them to be available. You should expect them to be teachable. And if you follow that acronym out, we're looking for fat disciples. You'll never forget it. James 1:22, when we think about teachableness, here's the expectation, that they become doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. That's why the application part of your lessons, discipler, is so critical. That's why they have to know what to do. And you should expect that they're doing it, that there's change. It's not going to be perfect. That's why we covered patience already. But there should be this element of, man, I see change. I see you're trying, you're working, you're trying to do the word, and encourage them in that. James 1:19-20 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." So the idea here is when your disciple receives correction and even rebuke from you or guidance from you, you should expect them to be quick to listen and slow to say, but, yeah, but, or you don't know this, or that's not me, or whatever. They need to take it. And it's okay to call that out and say, look, I'm trying to help you, you know, and this is what the Word of God says. And you got to do it. You got to do it. And I'm here to help you. Do you need help to figure out how to do it? Let's talk about that. But if it's pushback and, you know, resistance against your teaching, against your counseling of them, that shows pride, and you need to call that out. That we should all be humble and teachable before the Word of God. They shouldn't argue when you confront their sinful habits. Proverbs 19, verse 20, "Listen to counsel, receive discipline, that you may be wise in the end of your days." Right? You want to be wise. If you don't want to be an old fool, then you need to listen to counsel and receive discipline. They need to be teachable. And not only this, but they should be someone who is seeking out your advice, seeking out your advice for decisions and difficult seasons or situations of life. So you should make yourself available to that and show yourself to be wise, show yourself to be godly, so that they would want to call you and say, I'm in this situation. I don't know what to do. The Lord is really throwing me a curveball here. What would you do, or what guidance do you have? What does the Word say? You should be somebody that they would call, all right? Now, lastly, this is something that's really familiar to, I think, all of us, but helpful in this situation, in this setting, to cover. What's expected from discipleship? Okay, so you have your expectations that are of you, and there's expectations that you have of your disciple. Now, what should I be expecting to happen in our times together? What should I be expecting to come to fruition in our relationship, both in the short term and the long term? What should I expect to see happening in this ministry that I'm involved in? Well, we learn from 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So we're going to look at, just one at a time, really briefly, each of these four things that, if you're in the Word together, this should be happening. You should expect these four things to happen. So we're going to cover these one at a time. First of all, you should be expecting that there's teaching happening. Teaching. That is, teach doctrine. This goes back to our first point of instruction. You should expect, and they should expect, that they are learning something regularly. Not that you're coming up with new doctrine, but that they're learning maybe doctrines that they knew, but to a depth or breadth that they did not know before. Or an application that they never thought of before. Connect the dots for them. Help them connect the dots. There should be teaching happening. Ephesians 4:14. And the goal is so that we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, for by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. So the goal is that there is so much teaching and instruction happening that they, you know, one weird video on YouTube doesn't just throw them for a loop and doesn't derail them spiritually. That's the goal. They want them to be solid in the truth. Reproof now. The Word of God is profitable for reproof. 2 Peter 15:16. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he received a rebuke for his own lawlessness. For a mute donkey, speaking out with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. So, Balaam, right? Balaam's donkey, that wonderful story. There's a comedic side to it, but there's like, look, the Lord will do whatever he takes to stop you from going headlong into foolishness and lawlessness. And one way that he does that in the life of your disciple is you. You're the donkey, discipler. You're the donkey. You speak up, and the word here is rebuke. So reproof means to reproach, to rebuke. The idea is to express strong disapproval. You got to be able to say that. You can't be afraid of hurting their feelings. Right? You do as much as you can to try not to. But if you love them like God loves them, then you are going to voice, I disapprove of that. The Lord disapproves of that. And this is not okay for you. They have to be able to hear that from you. And as I have been trying to be, you know, matchmaker in this church, connecting disciples with disciplers and having some part in that, that's one key question that I ask them. We have, for a disciple, who do you have a relationship or would be open to having a relationship with? Who is godly and you look up to and you want, there's something about them that you want to imitate in your life? Do you feel like their life is worth imitating? And then 3, who would you be most willing to receive instruction, even rebuke from? Who could you just take it from? And you wouldn't fight back. That's the expectation. So they are coming into the relationship understanding, I'm willing to take that from this person. You got to deliver. You got to deliver, discipler. Otherwise, God's going to use a donkey. He'll pass you up. But let him speak through you, dear Christian. Also, correction. Correction is something that you should be expecting from your discipleship ministry. Correction comes from the word for orthodontist. It's the idea to set straight. To take something that is skewed and to make it straight. And that's what orthodontists do with our teeth. It is to take faults and correct them. So it's to correct faults. The idea, more positively speaking, because I think there is a positive side to this, it is the idea to restore, to reestablish, and reform. I think that's a good word. We like that word in this church, reform. So you should be expecting that there's little reformation happening in the life and heart of your disciple. And here's what that would look like, 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. The Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may give them repentance leading to the full knowledge of the truth. Now, some of us love to rebuke and correct, and we think we got that spiritual gift to do that. But notice Paul's instruction here that you must do it with gentleness, and the goal of your correction must be repentance, right? Leading to full knowledge of the truth. So it's restorative. It's not just bashing them over the head and saying, you're wrong, but you're wrong and let's set it straight. Let me show you how to do that. And I'll be with you every step of the way. And then training. So the word of God is profitable for training. This is the word where we get our word for pediatrics. It's the idea of raising up somebody, like raising up a child or raising up an adult, as we talked about earlier. It is to provide guidance for proper living. So it's this idea, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's this whole full-orbed idea of raising them up, bringing them up in discipline and instruction. So there's you're doing this wrong. Now here's the right way to do it. Right? That's the training. And it's a long term, right? I mean, you don't raise a child in a few weeks or even in 1 year. So that's why discipleship is a long-term relationship. It's a long-term endeavor. You're not saying, well, let's meet for this book and then we're done. It's, I'm committed to you as a person, and however long it takes, that's how long it takes. And I'll be here until the Lord fully matures you to where I feel comfortable letting you go and you can turn around and disciple others. Now, in all of this, we can't forget. We looked at all scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training. But notice the trajectory that you should be expecting in your discipleship ministry. So that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, this is the point. That there should be spiritual growth. So another expectation is growth. I don't know if I mentioned that. Growth. You should see change in the life of your disciple. There should be spiritual growth. I mean, this is a biblical expectation. 1 Timothy 4:15. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Now this is the Apostle Paul telling his disciple Timothy. Remember, that was really what Timothy was, a disciple of Paul. And even as Paul entrusted the ministry to Timothy and set him on his own course, he still has that long-term relationship with him because he's writing letters to him. That should be the relationship with your disciple, long-term. But again, here's just a healthy expectation to have. Your progress should be evident to all. You should be able to say that to your disciple. Dear disciple, I know it's hard. I know it's hard work. I know the commitment is big. But take pains with them. Be absorbed in the homework. And let your growth be evident. Let your progress be evident to all. Especially to me. I need to see this. There needs to be change. And it's not for you, it's for the Lord, of course. You have every right to expect change in their lives because that is the expectation of Christ. A tree will be known by its fruit, right? And so you must bring their sins into the light, challenge them when they are not showing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, give them practical steps and direction to grow that fruit, and you should be expecting in due season, there will be produce. right? There will be the fruit of the Spirit. There will be growth. There will be change. And lastly, I mentioned this, that this is the ultimate expectation of discipleship is reproduction. Lastly, reproduction. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So, Paul discipled Timothy, and Timothy is to disciple faithful men, and those faithful men should be getting to the point where they can teach others. So, four generations of discipleship and mentorship in the life of the church in one verse. So this means, disciplers, from the very start, from your first meeting together, even if they just got saved a week ago and they want to meet with somebody and that's you, from your first meeting, you must set the vision, set the goal. And throughout your times together, remind them of this, that reproduction is the goal. The goal is for you guys to not meet together forever, but in a sense, they would move on from you. That they would get what they need for that season from you and be able to move on and live a healthy Christian life. You should have that expectation. So you need to remind them. Take notes if you need to. You should be learning these things, not just for you, but for that next person that you're going to teach. Learn, that takes a whole different flavor, doesn't it? Somebody learning just to learn versus somebody learning to teach, right? Those are two different things. Your disciples should be learning to teach, to know the stuff well enough, to take good enough notes, so that they can take that basic discipleship booklet or that basic Bible doctrine booklet, and they can take that and turn around and meet with somebody and open it up and say, not only do I have the answers, but here are some really helpful ways that that'll look like in your life. All right? And here's some, and I did some study of a verse in here, and here's what this means, and I want to teach you. That's the goal. So set that out as the trajectory from your first meeting together onward. Remind them of that. All right, especially if they're getting lazy in the lessons or if they're, you know, getting passive. Remind them, look, this is not just for you. This is for the one after you. Right? You need to be learning and being diligent in this. I want to help you to get you to that point. All right? So those are the expectations of discipleship, church. Again, remember, unmet expectations are extremely discouraging, and we trust God that He will not disappoint. If we're faithful, these expectations that we have of discipleship will happen. So be confident. Just be faithful to do the work. But conflicting expectations produce frustration as well in the discipleship relationship. So make sure that you are on the same page with your disciple. Not only this, but unsaid expectations produce aimlessness. So tell them what you expect of them. Tell them what the Lord demands of them. And hold yourself accountable to fulfill what the Lord demands of you as a discipler. I trust that the Lord would greatly use this ministry in this church. It's so encouraging to know that we have, 20 people being discipled in this church. And that's you, brothers and sisters, working hard week after week, month after month. That is, I know, very different from the history that we have experienced in this church. And I think that we're seeing that. That we're seeing that what we are going through now, what the Lord is bringing us through now, is different. There's something special about it. And it's you. It's not me. It's you. You're doing the work. And I want to encourage you. Don't grow weary in doing good. Right? The health of Redeemer Bible Church is largely influenced by your tireless ministry. And so I want to encourage you to remain steadfast in it, to have these expectations, and to find great joy in it. Because there is great joy. You're on the front line of the power of God working in somebody's life. You get front row seats. So what a joy. In the months to come, we're going to cover spiritual discipline. So this might be something that you and your disciple can attend together. I would encourage that. Say, hey, let's commit to this series. Maybe they haven't come to Equipping Hour much, if at all. Exhort them, encourage them. Hey, I think this would be really good for you. Spiritual disciplines. We all need this, right? We're going to cover things like what's the purpose of discipline? It's Christ-likeness. We're going to cover specific spiritual disciplines like Bible reading, prayer, listening to the taught and preached word, worship, evangelism, ministry and service, stewardship, fasting, meditation, study of the Word of God, communion, and fellowship. So some really great topics, and the Lord will encourage us and give us a vision for the Christian life, and this will just do nothing but help your disciple to grow and excel still more. All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time that we had together. I thank you for these dear brothers and sisters and the work that they're doing. I pray that, Lord, you would reinvigorate them, Lord. It's a long, hard work. It's a marathon. Times like these are vital, Lord, for us to continue in this work and to refocus and recenter our direction. I pray, Lord, that this would have been helpful to the disciples of this church. I pray that you would give them strength, Lord, give them wisdom as they counsel their disciples. God, work through them, and Lord, may you produce a next generation. Lord, we have 20 disciples, 20 people being discipled. Oh, Lord, what a thought that in just a year or two or three, we can have 20 more disciplers, 20 more people willing and able and trained up to where they can now take on their own disciples. Oh, Lord, what a thought of the state of our church that it would be at that point. So may we have that desire, may we have that hope and trust that you will work through our feeble efforts. Thank you, Lord, that you go above and beyond what we ever ask or think and how you work through us. And Lord, do great miracles each week as we meet together with our disciples. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Don't forget to get those update forms up here, front seat facing down. And if you need that discipler's questionnaire, email or text me and I'll get those to you right away.